This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
The only thing we have to fear is fear itself.
I'm not a crook.
If you like your health care plan, you'll be able to keep your health care plan.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, fire.
You're listening to Jim Paris Live, your source for the latest news on money, politics, prophecy, and preparedness. And now your host, the editor-in-chief of ChristianMoney.com and the author of more than 30 books, Jim Paris.
All right. We've been trying to put this interview together now for about 3 weeks. I'm super excited we were able to do it because we learned about a new book that came out as my wife and I were up in Savannah, Georgia over the holidays. And we took a tour, which we had never taken the actual tour before, called the Midnight in the Garden of Good and Evil Tour, which takes you to all the different sites, including the Bonaventure Cemetery, that were all featured in the movie Midnight in the Garden of Good and Evil, which was directed by Clint Eastwood, of course, starring Kevin Spacey, starring John Cusack. The movie came out in, I believe it was 1997, and is one of the great reasons why people flock to Savannah, because they just want to see all the historic houses, all the sites from that movie. Still to this day, people are interested in that movie, which is all about a real life murder case that goes all the way back to 1981. Now, there was originally a book written about this by John Berendt titled Midnight in the Garden of Good and Evil, then the movie. But now there's this new book which really gives you the whole story, the whole story with all the facts, crime scene photos, the blow by blow. And it comes from someone that was an attorney at the time and was actually there when all this happened, was actually at the crime scene after the shooting. And he's the author of this new book. It's called Lawyer Games, a beautiful book, by the way, and he signed it to me as well. I'm so excited to have it. And our guest tonight, Depp Kirkland, welcome to Jim Paris Live.
Well, thanks, Jim. Glad to be here.
You know, I was doing a little bit of research on you today, and you're a very interesting guy. Not only are you you're formerly a lawyer, a district attorney, and then you go into writing and acting, and I'm looking at you. It says you're on IMDb. It says Depp Kirkland is a writer and actor known for Twin Peaks. And then it's got all these pictures of you playing different characters in different TV shows. Wow.
Yeah. Who knew? Yeah. Well, good question. I didn't know either. But I call myself a recovering lawyer.
Okay. Well, that's interesting. So did this, before we get into the book itself, did this book becoming a movie sort of bring to your doorstep Hollywood, and you said, maybe this is for me too, and you kind of took a left-hand turn and ended up in that whole world?
Well, I took a left-hand turn, that's for sure, because I'm in California, so I'm way on the left over here. But actually, it didn't really come from that. I did what quite a few people do, and that is they do what their parents suggest maybe would be a good idea. So when my mother said, you should go to law school, and I had no idea what I wanted to do, I said, yeah, okay, well, why not? And I went, and I started doing that. The truth is, I never liked it very much. I mean, I have no problem with people who love it, and some people love it. A lot of lawyers, if you talk to them, really don't love it, but they won't tell you that, because now they have a mortgage, and they have to pay the bills.
Yeah,
but, you know, it becomes,
student loans as well.
Yeah, student loans, and that's not just true of lawyers. It's true of a lot of professions when people kind of do what they feel like they should do, whether there's expectations of parents or whatever. So it was only later in life that I just decided this was not for me. What's interesting, though, about the Midnight case, how it relates to that, is that I found out later in life that the parts of the legal profession that I liked, and I did defense work too, but not prosecution, defense work. I did utility regulatory work for the state of Georgia. I did investigative work and consulting for the satellite television industry in Alexandria, Virginia. I mean, I've been around. What I found was the part that I liked were the stories. I liked figuring out what happened. The drudgery of the day-to-day, you want to draft a contract? There are plenty of people who can do that. I personally don't really enjoy doing that. So that part of it, I didn't like very much. And I didn't feel like it was very creative. So I finally, at one point in life, just said, I'm not going to do this anymore.
Yeah, that's interesting. And my apologies, too, for I was just thinking about how I said that. Who knew that you were an actor? Probably a lot of people know. And I recognize you from this picture. Like, wow, I've seen you in some things. I know I have. But I was coming to the mic tonight prepared to interview an author. And I did not recognize your name as anything but a guy that was a former lawyer who wrote this book. And then I'm looking and it's like, wow, you're equally, if not more, known, you know, in Hollywood and all of that. And what a jump that was. But this story, is it fair to say that, because I have not read the John Berendt book, we have it here. My wife recently bought it because she wanted to read that book after our recent visit to Savannah and taking that tour. And we saw the movie years ago. We saw it again recently just because we wanted to see it right before we took the tour. And our tour guide mentioned your book. But is it fair to say that the John Berendt book is not like the down and dirty blow by blow description that your book is, that that's really the difference? His is more of sort of a historical novel in the sense that it kind of takes a little bit of license. Is that fair?
He takes a lot of license. And I know when you get to read my book and get to the end of it, I have a chapter in the end. It's not the chapter, but the epilogue of the book. I talk about the book and I talk about the movie. And I talk about why the movie didn't do well. And I think I have a pretty good idea why it didn't. And I loved Clint Eastwood. I love John Cusack. And Kevin Spacey captured Jim Williams, who I call the killer, but the defendant in the case. He captured him incredibly.
And for people that have never seen the picture of Jim Williams, Kevin Spacey became Jim Williams for that role, didn't he?
He did. He did. Absolutely. His mannerisms, his speech patterns, everything about him. But the guy, he's a brilliant actor, so I'm not surprised about that. But what, interestingly enough, the Berendt book, which is, you have to give a lot of credit to him, because that book sparked this entire, what I call, tourist tsunami that has swept up Savannah in its wake. And this mass of visitors, your visit, I mean, this was all sparked by that book. It was on the New York Times bestseller list for over 200 weeks. It's reprinted in over 20 foreign languages. It still sells. That book still sells somewhere between 8,000 and 10,000 copies a year today. And I've said to people, for example, I've gone to book signings like Barnes & Noble outlets, and people have asked me, they said, oh, I've heard about this book, and I should buy this book. Well, what about the Berendt book? And I said, if I were you, I would buy both. And I would read his first, because they really are different. I'll give you an example. John Berendt's book was on the list as a Pulitzer nominee. And in fact, from what I am told, it was one of the finalists. It was down to two books, his and another book. And I don't remember the name of the other book, but it was his book and another book that were up for the Pulitzer Prize in the nonfiction category.
Wow.
His book was then disqualified and pulled from the competition because there were so many complaints about things in it that weren't real. For example, John Berendt puts himself, you saw the film, so you know that John Cusack actually played John Berendt. And he put himself into this narrative as if he had been there and actually discovered evidence and was present during the entire the trial, the first trial of this case.
And that's a trick that is used by writers and also by Hollywood, too, to sort of help people understand what's going on without having to use like a separate narrator's voice in the writing or, you know, in the movie. So much to that's talk right. about. We'll be back after our 4-minute break here. Our guest, Depp Kirkland, the book Lawyer Games, After Midnight in the Garden of Good and Evil. Riveting, it says here on the cover, and I would agree. We'll be right back. Hi, this is radio talk show host Jim Paris. And if you are like me, you hate all of those monthly bills. Well, I reached the point about 3 years ago that I decided enough was enough, and I went to war with my personal stack of monthly bills. I canceled cable TV and legally connected my television to the internet, and now I get hundreds of free TV channels, and I don't pay for cable TV. I found a little-known way of getting free home phone service for life, and I discovered a totally legal way to opt out of Obamacare and cut my health insurance bill by more than 60% per year. If you want to learn more about my personal war on monthly bills, check out my website, ChristianMoneyPlus.com. That's ChristianMoneyPlus.com. If you're just plain sick and tired of those monthly bills, check out my website, ChristianMoneyPlus.com.
Honey, what is that in your CPAP mask?
Oh, that's just my mold collection.
Oh, gross. And what is that?
What, that bacteria colony right there?
Yeah, cool, huh?
Okay, CPAP users, admit it. You're not always as careful about cleaning your system as you should be. Unfortunately, a dirty mask and hose can make you sick. Respiratory infections, allergy attacks, and more. But now there's an easy way to protect yourself. SoClean.com has released the world's first and only automated CPAP cleaner and sanitizer. It kills 99.9% of CPAP germs in minutes. For a limited time, you can try it risk-free for 30 days. Just call 1-800-944-1065. SoClean is hands-free. Just pop in your mask, close the lid, and presto, your CPAP comes out clean and fresh in minutes. Don't let germs wreak havoc on your health. Call in the next 10 minutes for your risk-free trial. 1-800-944-1065. That's 1-800-944-1065.
This is David Cordani, CEO of Cigna. For more than 20 years, Cigna has worked with the March of Dimes to address premature births in the U.S. Premature births cause horrible suffering and cost billions of dollars each year. That's why Cigna is committed to raising funds and awareness through our employees, family, and friends to improve the health of moms and babies. Please join us in supporting the March for Babies. Start your team today at marchforbabies.org.
Dangerous blood clot device alert. If you or a loved one had an IVC filter placed to prevent blood clots from traveling to your heart or lungs and suffered an injury, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. The FDA warns that IVC filters may cause serious complications, such as heart or lung damage, internal bleeding, and even death. These dangerous blood clot devices can break, and the metal fragments can travel to your heart or lungs, causing serious injuries. If you or a loved one suffered organ damage or other injuries from an IVC filter, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Act now. Time is limited to file a claim. For a free consultation and free information, call Injury Help Desk at 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507. This is an advertisement. Paid non-attorney spokesperson. InjuryHelpDesk.com is responsible for this advertisement. Principal office, Las Vegas, Nevada.
ProPure Water Filters, making water great again. Taste and feel the difference with state-of-the-art filter technology. Pro 1 G2.0 and Pro Max filters are independent lab-tested to NSF standards. Choose from gravity, countertop, pitcher, shower, and inline filtration products. There's a ProPure for you. Buy risk-free today. Visit your authorized ProPure dealer for details or ProPureUSA.com. That's ProPureUSA.com.
You're listening to Jim Paris Live.
Okay, we are back. I have to tell you, this book is a fascinating book, a beautiful book. If you love to read, you know, books about real true crime, which I'm fascinated by. I love true crime. This is really, really a great book for you to grab. Everything from the crime scene photos to all kinds of just detailed information about the whole case. And let's start. Deb Kirkland, author of the book Lawyer Games, is with us. Deb, let's start with your position in all of this, because I think that's important that people know that you were not only just someone that was living there at the time, that you were actually involved in this case. In what way were you involved?
Well, at the time this happened, I was the chief assistant DA in Savannah in the night. It was early morning hours, slightly before 4 in the morning. The detectives on the scene of the killing actually called me at home and asked me to come to the scene, which is unusual. We don't have enough prosecutors to go around to go to crime scenes. But when you consider who was involved, Jim Williams, the defendant in this case, the accused killer in this case, who lived in this mansion called Mercer House in Savannah, which I'm sure you toured and others tour when they go to see Savannah as part of the midnight tour. Jim Williams was one of the initiators of the entire historic restoration movement in the city of Savannah. He was a big deal.
He was like kind of like the Donald Trump of Savannah in that he, right? Would that be fair?
That's an interesting comparison. But
I don't mean that in a bad way for Donald Trump. Right. I simply say that he was, as I understand it, a flamboyant real estate investor, a guy who everybody knew him in town. He wasn't a quiet, behind-the-scenes sort of entrepreneur.
Not at all.
Yeah, so I don't mean it in a disparaging way to Donald Trump. I'm simply saying that he was known as a wealthy entrepreneur who was innovative. He was buying and selling real estate. He ended up in the Mercer home, which was, an amazing place. Should have probably ended up as a museum before he made turn it into his own home. But he was like a local celebrity financial guy. Would that be fair?
Yeah, he was a big deal. I mean, as far as local society, there's scenes in the book, and I know you haven't read the original book, the Midnight in the Garden of Good and Evil book, Barron's book, but it talks about the fact that the invitation to Jim Williams' holiday party was the ticket as far as Savannah society. It was extravagant. It was extraordinary. It was that house lit up with food and drink and people, two floors, and the windows at the top open. He had a pipe organ on the second floor that he would play at the end of the night, and the whole square is filled with the music out of this house. It was absolutely glorious. Now, that was, you would find the mayor there, you'd find local representatives, you'd find state representatives, you'd find politicians, business people, you name it. If you were anybody, you were at Jim Williams' holiday party. Interestingly enough, and this is the thing that I think attracted people to the Midnight book, not my book, but the original book, the Midnight book. Not so much the murder case, to be honest. And my position on it has always been that book was never about the murder case. The criminal case was actually used as a device, like an invitation to the party, to talk about Savannah and the quirky, weird, odd people in that city, which is fascinating. And the book, I love the book. It just wasn't about the case, in my opinion. But the interesting thing about the holiday party is that I don't know if it's the next night. It might have been the following night. But Jim Williams had another holiday party at the same house, except this house was men only. So he actually had he led two lives in a way. But everybody in Savannah knew about it. It was, you know how the South, it was one of those things where.
So he was, as the movie indicated, he was gay. He wasn't really closeted per se.
Not at all.
But it wasn't really discussed. It was sort of known, but not really brought up.
And if you talk to anybody, if you talk to people in Savannah that were in those circles, they would tell you it was no big deal. Everybody knew. Nobody made a big deal out of it. They made a big deal out of it in the first trial because I think they were worried that people would somehow hold it against him if they found out that he was gay, in fact. But but I don't think that was right. I don't think that was the real reason. I think the real reason was because they didn't want to disclose the relationship the physical relationship between the young man that he killed and Williams. They tried to relate.
And there was more than an implication in the movie that Jim Williams and this young man, Danny Hansford, who actually worked for him, that there was a relationship there. And that became then sort of the backstory to this shooting, which was then made it a lot more than what he claimed to just be a self-defense situation. It was, clearly an emotional situation there.
It was an emotional situation. Yeah. These men were related. In fact, so many friends of Jim's had told him that you need to. He was obsessed with this kid, and the kid used to push his buttons, and then this thing escalated. And it got out of hand, and they had an argument, and Williams had a temper, and he exploded, and he shot the kid. He shot Danny Hansford and killed him, and then he set up the scene to make it look like he hadn't, and it was obvious. I mean, now this is back to your question about where was I. I went to the scene that night. The reason I went was that the detectives were on the scene. Crime scene ID people were on the scene. Williams already had two lawyers there who he had called before he called the police, by the way, and they were looking at the scene in the study, and it was obviously tampered with. So here they're sitting with one of the most prominent citizens in the city. She's got two attorneys present already. They're looking at a scene that is screaming out tampered, set up, and they wanted to be sure they were on the right track. So they called me. I went down there, and I actually went to the site. Hansford was still on the floor. The body was still there. This was like an hour after the shooting. And the body was still on the floor, and they said, here's what we see. And they walked me through the scene to show me the things that had been moved, the things that had been tampered with, gunshot, fragments from a bullet that went through a piece of paper that had to have been on the, all these things that were out of sequence. It could not have been. It's impossible.
No forensics really needed, just on its, on the face of it, there were problems. Now the actual weapon used to shoot the young man was, and there was a substantial age difference. We've got Jim Williams was 50. Danny Hansford was what, in his 20s?
21. Yeah.
And this was like an antique firearm that he used because he was an antique dealer. So it wouldn't have been unusual for him to have this, but to have
it this way. It might be a little unusual. People collect firearms, and this was a German World War II vintage Luger.
Wow.
Not too many people keep them, several of them, loaded with safeties off around in various places in their house.
Yeah, that's the part of it that normally you would even have the firing pin taken out. It would not be in firing condition. Yeah. Interesting that antique weapon was used in the shooting.
He shot Hansford with a Luger, and the Luger that he then, this is my position, I think it's pretty obvious, but he then went and he then retrieved another Luger. He had another Luger with a... that was loaded to fake the shot that he said had been fired at him. That was also a World War II vintage Luger, and
wow.
There was another thing in the hallway.
So this was a duel supposedly with World War II vintage firearms, although
yes.
It appears there was just one shooter that fired both guns. And we'll get more into the story. Fascinating, the real story behind the movie, Midnight in the Garden of Good and Evil, the Jim Williams case from Savannah, Georgia. We'll be right back.
Have you ever wanted a shortcut to getting the underground secrets to making money online and seriously grow your business? Whether it's a new business, a part-time income, or an existing business, you have this incredible limited offer to get a copy of this Amazon best-selling book on .com success for free. Uncover the success factors to make your business ignite. Go to secretsignite.com. That's secretsignite.com. Get your free copy now. Go to secretsignite.com.
Did you know your car can be hacked just like your computer or phone? Hackers can hijack the signal of your own key fob to burglarize your vehicle in seconds. The Black Hole Faraday Key Fob Bag is a signal impenetrable shield that stops these hacks in their tracks. Protect one of your most valuable assets. Go to hackproofbag.com. That's hackproofbag.com and use promo code radio to get 20% off. Or call 805-222-4584. 805-222-4584.
All right, guys, we're ready for our four-season sunroom, and Daddy's gonna get a rec room with refreshments.
Oh, no, we'll be sleeping under the stars.
Mom, what about the one with, the fun?
Nice try, little bro. It's a gym. My gym.
Hey!
day. Grandma's getting her Four Seasons garden room, weather tight and still like being outdoors.
Maybe a living room. Oh no, wait, a family hub.
Yeah!
No matter what the budget, the season, or the climate, Four Seasons Sunrooms let you and your family enjoy the outdoors inside. Call now to hear more about these great offers from the premier manufacturer of sunrooms since 1975.
More reasons for Four Seasons now.
To find out more, call toll-free 800-848-6333. That's 800-848-6333.
Back pain doesn't take vacations. It never celebrates holidays. It's on the job 24/7 to keep your life exactly where it is, in limbo. But it doesn't have to be that way, because Laser Spine Institute can help you take back your life from chronic neck and back pain. With a less than 1-inch incision, our minimally invasive procedures have provided relief to over 60,000 patients with a 97% patient satisfaction rate. So get ready to stand tall and live the life you've imagined for yourself without pain. Are you or a loved one suffering from a bulging disc, herniated disc, spinal stenosis, pinched nerve, or degenerative disc disease? Call our spine care consultants now at
855-519-BACK.
For a no-cost MRI review and to learn more, it's time to say goodbye to chronic neck and back pain.
Call 855-519-BACK now to see if laser spine surgery is right for you. That's 855-519-BACK.
What have you got to lose? Laser Spine Institute, the leader in minimally invasive spine surgery.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your 2-month supply, call now, toll free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
You are listening to Jim Paris Live.
All right, we are back. Fascinating discussion we're having with author Depp Kirkland. Depp Kirkland's book, Lawyer Games, and it's all about the real story behind the movie Midnight in the Garden of Good and Evil. This was an actual murder case from 1981, and Depp Kirkland was there working in the district attorney's office, was actually on the scene where the shooting took place by Jim Williams of Danny Hansford. And this is the case that launched the John Barron book that then led to the movie. And we're talking about it tonight. And it's a fantastic true crime book with a lot of crime scene photos, a lot of analysis here, and a lot of notes. If you're somebody that likes a well-researched book, you're going to love this book. Beautiful hardcover book. And it's available. I see it's on Amazon. I'm sure it's in the bookstores as well. Be a great gift for someone that likes to read true crime. Before we get back to the case itself, Depp, I want to ask you about the fact that three individuals, at least three, maybe there were more, actually played themselves in the movie. So there was the Lady Chablis, was the transvestite guy, gal, played himself, herself. Then there was the piano player, Emma Kelly, as herself in the movie. And then the hairdresser, Jerry Spence, played himself in the movie. I thought that was fascinating. Do those three characters have much to do, though, with the real story of what happened?
Well, there's one more in there, which goes unnoticed. The attorney who took over the case, the original defense attorney, was Bobby Lee Cook from up in North Georgia, is a legend in the legal world. But he left after the first trial, and that came on then was a fellow by the name of Sonny Seiler, Frank Seiler, who, for trivia fans, is actually the breeder of the Georgia Bulldog mascot, and former president of the state bar, et cetera, et cetera. Sonny Siler defended Williams in the second, third, and fourth trials. He played the judge in the film.
Oh, really?
So he did.
Wow.
And he did a fine job. Good for him. I mean,
yeah, that's interesting.
He got his cameo.
Yeah, it's interesting that was the case, and just some of the backstory.
But your question, though. But your question, to answer it, because it's important, and I just want to throw that in there about Sonny. But that really is an important point about Barron's book. Savannah is a fascinating place. You've been there. It's the largest historic landmark district in the United States. It's a beautiful place. There are many, many reasons to go see it. This murder case is probably not one of them, but that's okay. but the point is, in the book, for example, there was, as you mentioned, Lady Chablis, a female impersonator who was placed into the story, who's a real person. And McKelly, Jerry Spence, the hairdresser, some fellow who wanted to poison the water supply of Savannah, some fellow who walked around with flies tied to strings that went around his head, another guy who would go from the law firm and walk this invisible dog on a leash in the park, and others, and some barfly lawyer who was put into the story. None of those people had the slightest thing to do with the murder case against Jim Williams.
But they were just put in the story to make it more interesting.
I really think that the story in the Midnight book was really about the quirky characters of Savannah, and people love to read. I like the book, but it didn't have much to do with the.
Yeah, it almost brought you back to a time of like To Kill a Mockingbird or, you know, something like that.
Right.
When you think about the, but yet as much as when you're watching the movie, you kind of forget the time period you're in, that it's 1981. It doesn't feel like it's 1981, even though it is. And you get that same sense when you go to Savannah. It's almost as if it's kind of frozen in time. You don't get a sense that you are in the year 2017 when you're in Savannah.
Well, interestingly enough, I think for the film, for those who actually saw the movie, I saw the movie. I was in New York at the time, acting and writing and doing all that. I went down to see the movie, and I enjoyed it because I got to see my hometown and sit in the dark for a couple of hours and enjoyed the little trip. It was like taking a tour bus. But the reason that the film didn't work, in my opinion, and it did not do well at the box office, was I think that the film, many times a film will fail a book. You know, people are fans of a book and they say, well, the movie just didn't capture the book. I think in this case, the book failed the film, not in an intentional way, but for this reason. The book wasn't about the murder case. Not really. So when you, and I say this in my book, at the end when I talk about the movie, what you really ended up with was you had a film which had nothing really driving it. So it reminded me of, you know how many times in the film, because you saw it, how many times they would go back to Lady Chablis, for example.
Right.
And I say, and the thing's like, it's like somebody with a taste for cheap wine. Every time they had a thirst, they'd say, well, let's grab Lady Chablis again because we don't know what else to do. And I said, it reminds me of tourists. And if people from Savannah will recognize this, and tourists will too. I said, it reminds me of a group of tourists who are standing in front of historic marker, which are all over the downtown Savannah. They're reading the historic marker. They finish reading the historic marker, and they kind of look at each other like, well, what do we do now? And they look at their map, and they kind of wander off looking for some other site that might be interesting. That's what the movie did.
What you're saying, if I can get this right, is if the book was never written, and then somebody just decided, let's make a movie about this murder case, and actually made a movie about the actual murder case and didn't go down all these rabbit trails, it might have been a darn good movie.
I actually think it would have been a more interesting movie. I think there's a movie there. There is a film there. We don't want to get off topic, but I've talked to people. I've been told there's a film in this book. I don't think there is. My book I'm talking about. I don't see it because there's too much in it. There's too much in it. But what I have been told by some people who do this for a living is the real story here is the story of these two men from such different backgrounds that ended up in this relationship that was so volatile that one of them ended up dead. The history of that relationship, how this kid who was a street hustler, I mean, this guy was selling himself in the park. That's what he did. That's how Williams met.
And he was an orphan child, was in a number of boys' homes growing up, and then found maybe the father figure of Jim Williams, who became sort of a caretaker to him, and then became sexual.
I think Williams was his golden goose.
Yeah.
He told his friend, you know, he had a very good friend. Well, Hansford's dad, here's a good tidbit for you. Danny Hansford, who was in a sexual relationship with Jim Williams, was not gay. He had a girlfriend.
Wow.
He did this for money. Williams bought him a car. He had a he lived in the house with Williams. He gave him money for whatever he needed. He even commented to him, to his friend, Hansford commented to his friend at one time, who told him, asked him, why are you doing this? This is ridiculous. Why are you doing? And I don't want to use the language that Hansford used, but he basically said, if he wants to do that to me and give me money for it, what do I care? I don't.
Yeah,
he's
basically prostituting himself, and then it ends up
in
this situation. So the actual shooting, this takes place in the movie, if I'm remembering this right. It's the early morning hours after the famed Christmas party. Is that how it happened in real life also?
No, that wasn't after the Christmas party. It was May the 2nd. But yes, the movie, yeah. But the truth is it was the early morning hours of May the 2nd, 1981. Williams was scheduled to take an antique buying trip to Europe. We're leaving, and I have to get my days straight. If this was Friday night, then I think it was Saturday morning, and I think Sunday they were supposed to leave for Europe. Hansford was going with him, but Hansford had been taken off the trip. I'll give you another example. When Williams did not like the fact that Hansford had a girlfriend, that was not acceptable. He bought him a gold necklace. You're going to love this. He bought him a gold necklace, quite expensive in those days dollars. And he gave it to Hansford on the condition that he break up with Debbie. Now, I'll throw this in. Debbie ended up testifying for the defense at Williams' fourth trial after Hansford was dead. This is a crazy group of people. So what does Hansford do with the necklace that he got from Williams on the condition that he break up with his girlfriend? He gave it to his girlfriend.
I think as strange as the movie was, the truth is even stranger, which makes it even more the fascinating.
This was a matter of days before he was killed.
Yeah. All right. We'll continue our last segment after this. Very, very interesting. Stay tuned.
Hello, everybody. This is radio talk show host Jim Paris for freesurvivalgifts.com. If you're a survival buff like me and like to try out the latest survival gear and gadgets, then you're going to absolutely love freesurvivalgifts.com. At freesurvivalgifts.com, you will find a wide array of survival gear, books, and videos that are all 100% free. That's right, just pay your own shipping. Now, I know you're asking, why is all of this survival gear free? Well, the companies offering this gear are doing so as a way to promote their brand and introduce new products. Check it out today, freesurvivalgifts.com. Pick up one or more free survival items for you and your family. That website again is freesurvivalgifts.com. Check it out, freesurvivalgifts.com.
Had it been the sweet Paris air permeating the night? The intoxicating way her beauty had overtaken him? Whatever the case back then, Jordan Dunleavy is still in love with the memory of Lauren, the woman he'd lost so many years before. In Bookstore on the Seine, the journey of a conspiracy analyst, author C.L. Hendman, ties conspiracy theories, mystery, irony, and romance into this stimulating novel that masterfully interweaves the past with the present. Available on Amazon and Kindle and at bookstoreontheseine.com. That's S-E-I-N-E.com. bookstoreontheseine.com.
The answer to being in control of your own healthcare is freedom from insurance. Become part of a group of self-pay patients that come together to share in each other's medical expenses. Individual share amounts begin at $107 a month and $347 for families. Choose from three health sharing programs. Holistic treatments may be eligible for sharing. See guidelines. Discount programs available for dental, vision, and pharmacy. Go to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
Lifetime Grazed 100% grass-fed beef has the health benefits you seek. When compared to conventional beef, it offers good fats while virtually eliminating the bad. That's the result of cattle who never eat grain, ever. Rich in antioxidants, including vitamin E, C, beta-carotene, and CLA. No artificial hormones, antibiotics, or other drugs. For all our fresh, non-cooked products with only 100% grass-fed beef, go to MidasResources.com. Use voucher code GCN to get 30% off your order. MidasResources.com or find us on Facebook.
The following statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Something shocking just happened in a Coast Guard unit in San Diego. The old guys in the unit have turned the tables and are now destroying the young bucks in head-to-head fitness tests. How is this even possible? Turns out the old guys in this unit have been part of a special test group for a doctor-formulated Fountain of Youth drink called Patriot Power Greens. Patriot Power Greens has been so effective for many of the older soldiers that it's made their achy joints, stiff muscles, and lack of energy a thing of the past. Previously, this drink was only available to elite military units. But for a limited time, the creator of Patriot Power Greens has set aside a small number of free samples specifically for our conservative friends. All they ask is that you chip in a few bucks to cover shipping. To claim your free samples of Patriot Power Greens, go to greens75.com. That's greens75.com. greens75.com.
Why be held hostage by your wireless carrier for 2 years? What if there were no contracts, no activation fees, no tracking, tracing, or draconian gimmicks? All on America's largest 4G LTE networks. Introducing PixWireless.com. Activate your Sprint, AT&T, and unlock GSM phones instantly. Bring your own device and make the switch today. Here's how. Call or click 1-800-205-9513 or PixWireless.com. Spell P-I-X. PixWireless.com.
You're listening to Jim Paris Live.
I know, folks, that many times I open it up for questions that you can email in and call in with, but tonight we're not going to do that. Just I have so many of my own questions. I'm going to be selfish here tonight. This is a real treat because I'm so interested in this story, and I love Savannah, and I just really enjoy the whole atmosphere there. And then when you get into this whole murder mystery story and all of this, it just makes it even that much more fun to visit, that much more interesting. We're talking about the real story, the shooting, Jim Williams, local real estate investor, antique collector, shoots Danny Hansford, who's 21 years old. They're in a homosexual relationship. And then there's a book written about it. This happened in 1981. A book is written about it, Midnight in the Garden of Good and Evil. Then it becomes the movie. Clint Eastwood directs it, comes out in 1997. And now we have really the real hard facts behind that case. And I want to talk about the four different trials, Depp, in our last few minutes here. But before we do that, one other person I want to ask you about. You mentioned him briefly. And on the tour I took, they make reference to him and they actually showed two different houses that he lived in. It's this character by the name of Joe Odom, who is this disbarred lawyer who becomes this piano player, kind of a vaudeville type guy who sings and plays the piano and hosts parties. And he has a girlfriend who's called Mandy in the movie, but is actually someone else in real life. But in any case, his famous quote was, if you have to leave a party, you always take a traveler. And that's when he gives John Cusack the Tupperware, the plastic cup with his booze in it that he walks out on the street with. But you're saying that actually was a real guy, I understand, but he had really nothing to do with this case. It's just sort of another personality injection.
Yeah, Jim, I have to tell you, people in Savannah in the legal profession, I mean, everybody knew Joe Odom. You see this book. And Joe Odom is in the book. And I'm like, my first reaction is, why is Joe Odom in this book? What is he doing in the book? He's a barfly. I mean, he's a nice guy, but you know, it had nothing to do. He had nothing to do with this murder case. None of these people did. I think I say in my book about that, about the book. And again, I like Barron's book. It just, and the whole thing about it being in the nonfiction category and being pulled back from the Pulitzer eligibility, it was a terrific book. I just think it was in the wrong category. That's all.
Nothing. Yeah, you wonder why it wasn't completely fictionalized.
I think they would have been better. I mean, if he wanted an award, I don't guess he cared. They didn't expect that book to do anything. I mean, if you read the history of the publication of that book, they did a limited run in the beginning, they did limited printing. The thing just caught on for some reason, for reasons you've already mentioned about this revisiting of the past and how Savannah seems out of time and the curios and the odd people and the people with the people like Joe Odom. Mandy, by the way, was played by Clint Eastwood's daughter. Just a piece of trivia there for you.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And the other thing I want to mention, for those who actually have either been to Savannah or plan to go, and I know you've been, if you go to Mercer House, where this took place, the study in which the killing took place doesn't look anything like it did at the time. But if you – am I pitching my book? I don't know. Maybe I am. But if you go to the book, there are photos in there. I have the original crime scene photos.
Oh, yeah.
See what the study actually looked like when it really happened.
Yeah, those photos gave me chills when I mean, those are real crime scene photos. And from what I understand, the movie, they were allowed to film in the house, the Mercer House, except for the study where the shooting took place, because the Williams family did not want to allow that. So that took place in Hollywood in sort of a fictionalized study that they built there. Is that right?
That's right. And I'll give you another piece of trivia just for, since people listen to this, I'll give them a little something extra that's fun, right? You mentioned I was at the scene. Well, I'm the one who made the decision to arrest Williams. I mean, they had already decided that this was wrong. I mean, the detectives were there, and like, this is what it looks like to us. So I didn't come up with it. But I said, I think you're right. We need to arrest the guy. So I'm the one, I went over to his, where he was seated in the parlor, as I would call it, with his attorney. And I told his attorney, Bob Duffy, that that Williams was going to be arrested for murder and he needed to make arrangements. Williams himself looked up at me and said, if I'd wanted to, I could have shot you too. There's another gun in this case. And in the end table next to the sofa where he was sitting was another loaded firearm.
Wow.
I mean, I don't know why he said it. I have no idea what he meant. It certainly wasn't a good idea, but this is one. I didn't know Jim Williams. I'd never heard of him. I didn't travel in those circles. But I thought at that moment, this is one interesting.
Yeah, fellow. I mean, eccentricity would not quite capture the kind of person that we're dealing with.
That's the right direction, but you're not quite there yet. I agree with you.
All right. Now, one of the things that is huge about the real story that varies from the fictionalized version is the fact that there were actually four separate trials.
Right.
Now explain to us legally how this works, because I went to law school for a year and I understand the difference between double jeopardy and someone being retried because of a hung jury or a case being discontinued because of a problem with the case. Explain to people these four trials and how it got to four separate trials and what happened in each of those cases that there had another trial.
I'll try to do it quickly. The first case, I was there for the first trial. I tried the first case with the DA. I put the case together and I tried it with him, and I handled all the expert witnesses and all the on both sides, our side and their side. Williams was convicted fairly quickly. One of the reasons I wrote my book, I'm diverting, I'm going off on a tangent a bit, but one of the reasons I wrote my book was because I really wanted to know how he ever was acquitted of this crime. I had told people before, if he's tried 100 times, he'll be convicted 100 times. Gravity isn't going to change because they don't like him. The physical evidence in this case is irrefutable. He's never going to get off. Well, first case, he's convicted. Bobby Lee Cook, and I can't get into it. It's an entire book of its own. Bobby Lee Cook created a little bit of a hidden flaw in the case at the very end of the trial that he then magnified and changed. He told four or five different stories to the trial court and the appeals court and the Supreme Court of Georgia. And finally, they reversed the conviction based on something that never came up again. So he had to be retried again. Meanwhile, I had left to go to Atlanta for another job and then on to Virginia.
And Deb, what was he convicted of? Was he convicted of first-degree murder?
First-degree murder.
Wow, okay.
Now, I can make you an example. In John Berendt's book, he says that voluntary manslaughter was not an option for the jury because it wasn't charged. Well, the truth was, it was charged. They convicted him of murder. So, first-degree murder. Well, there are no degrees in Georgia, but he convicted him of murder. So it has to be retried. He's tried a second time. This is when Cook left. Seiler took over and brought in people from another firm, a big criminal firm in Atlanta, because Seiler was a civil lawyer. He really wasn't a criminal lawyer. They tried it a second time. He was convicted again. It went back to the Supreme Court of Georgia. That conviction was reversed because the Supreme Court decided that an expert homicide detective could not testify to conclusions based on his examination of the crime scene. Don't ask. I have no idea. It made no sense to me at the time. It still makes no sense to me. They reversed the case again. Now there's a whole other aspect of this story that involves something that came up years later that I found out about, with an allegation that
we have just about a minute left, so I want to give you a chance to pace yourself to tell us what happened in the other two
trials. There were allegations that the Supreme Court was influenced to reverse the case. So it was reversed a second time. It was tried a third time. The third time it mistried 11-1. The single person on the jury who hung the case was the girlfriend of a known criminal in the Southeast.
Wow.
So she hung the jury. It was mistried. It had to be tried a fourth time. The fourth time it was moved to Augusta. This was 8 years later, and they cut him loose.
And was he out on an appeal bond during all these trials?
Part of the time he was, part of the time he wasn't, because the law changed. He spent a good bit of time in jail, though. And eight months after he was acquitted, he dropped dead of a heart attack in the study where he'd shot Danny.
Wow. Ashford. And we are out of time. Thank you so much, sir, for being with us. Depp Kirkland, love the book, Depp Kirkland. The book is Lawyer Games, After Midnight in the Garden of Good and Evil. Tell us, Depp, where people can get the book if they want to get in touch with you, all of that. Do you have a website or anything
Amazon,
you want to give out?
Yeah, sure. It's available on Amazon or Barnes & Noble. It also can be ordered from any bookstore. It's available in any bookstore in Savannah. There's also a website. It's www.lawyergamesthebook.com. And I know there's an access contact number there if people want to get in touch with me and ask questions.
I think it would be great to have you and John Barron together sometime.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
That'd be a great discussion. I'd love to be there for that.
He could pay for my ticket. He sold a lot more books than I have.
There you go. All right, sir. Depp Kirkland, thanks so much for being with us. The book Lawyer Games, really fascinating. Lots of great notes in here and real crime scene pictures. You've got to get this if you love true crime. And if it's Sunday night, it's Jim Paris Live. We'll talk to you next week. Hi, this is radio talk show host Jim Paris, and if you are like me, you hate all of those monthly bills. Well, I reached the point about 3 years ago that I decided enough was enough, and I went to war with my personal stack of monthly bills. I canceled cable TV and legally connected my television to the internet, and now I get hundreds of free TV channels, and I don't pay for cable TV. I found a little-known way of getting free home phone service for life, and I discovered a totally legal way to opt out of Obamacare and cut my health insurance bill by more than 60% per year. If you want to learn more about my personal war on monthly bills, check out my website, ChristianMoneyPlus.com. That's ChristianMoneyPlus.com. If you're just plain sick and tired of those monthly bills, check out my website, ChristianMoneyPlus.com.
We're all looking for safe, effective, and all-natural remedies for ourselves and our family. The solution is Simplex. Simplex oils provide natural anti-inflammatory and pain relief, antioxidant and nerve protection, and is an amazing topical acne removal and skincare supplement. Natural healing at a very affordable price. Find out more about our non-psychoactive CBD oil products. Go to SimplexSpecials.com. That's SimplexSpecials.com.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.